Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's talk Bears Tuesdays at 10. We bring in Kevin Fishbane. Follow him on Twitter if you are a Bears fan, at @KFishbane. He is back from London. You hear his voice in the press conferences when the Bears media questions Matt Nagy and the players. And he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. So are you you're gathered and recalibrated after the trip?
I am, Dan. I was actually with Rich Campbell yesterday when you guys, we were on the same flights. So I'm glad that I got to talk to you today after a full night's sleep. As opposed to Rich, who powered through yesterday on just probably several minutes of sleep.
It was yeoman's work that he did, because I don't know that he was really cognizant and still did an amazing job breaking down the issues surrounding the Bears. I think it starts with the offensive line. I mean, I'm trying to think about that game specifically and really the whole slate in a different sense, and I just keep coming back to tackle the issues the Bears have had. I wonder if there's anything. Is there anything more pressing in your mind about what they've done wrong so far this year?
No, Connor. I think it does come back to them with everything, because if you look at inconsistent quarterback play, you could always point to, well, the quarterbacks aren't getting a lot of help from the offensive line. You look at the run game. Well, you know, Dave Montgomery, I think it has all the qualities they said he has, but there's not a lot of room for him to run anywhere. You look at the production from the receivers. It's Allen Robinson and everybody else. You're thinking, well, sometimes, you know, maybe these guys got to do a better job getting open, but the quarterbacks also need a little bit more time. So I think a lot of this does come down to this offensive line. And the running game thing is interesting, because you guys know, you know, the analytics shows now, we all know that, you know, teams that pass more than they run, you know, that's a better way to win football games, a better way to score points. But if you're not good at passing the ball, and you're really bad at running the ball, you've got to figure one of those things out. You know, because the Bears can't move the ball consistently through the air, we have to talk about the fact that they're not running the ball well. And I think it does start with the offensive line. I mean, the Raiders totally dominated them up front. You know, they had four sacks after coming in with five total on the year. There was just nowhere for Dave Montgomery, Tariq Cohen to go. And I think it's got to start with those guys. And it's a lot of self-reflection for Matt Nagy and Harry Hiestand and Ryan Pace, because this is a group that they were pretty confident about coming into the season.
So how honest are they going to be about it? And what changes could be made or would be made that wouldn't constitute panic?
Yeah, Dan, I think the one personnel change that would take – a bit of, I don't want to say a leap of faith, but you'd have to really be able to back it up, would be right guard. You know, I think that, you know, I saw Olin mention it in the Football After Show the other day about Kyle Long. You know, I don't think any of the offensive linemen have played well, but that's a position at least that you have other options. And now I don't know if any of those options are really better than Kyle Long, at least better than him consistently. And, you know, you'd like to hope that he can get better. And certainly nobody knows that he's playing below his own expectations better than he does. But that's really the only one position you kind of have a little bit of flexibility if you want to make a statement change in your lineup. Because you're not, you know, Charles Leno hasn't been very good, but you don't have anybody else. They've made it clear they're not swapping Daniels and Whitehair back. And I think that's fine. I think you just have to hope that James Daniels just gets better. So if they're going to do anything drastic, it would be at right guard. And I'm not sure if that's a road they're going to go, because I don't know how confident you would be in the other options there being necessarily better in the long run than what you're getting from Kyle. Maybe we see some rotation, guys. Maybe that's something that we could see. They did that a little bit. They did it at the beginning of last year with James Daniels and Eric Kush. When Kyle Long came back, we saw him rotate in and out. Maybe there's something that Harry Hiestand does where we're going to give this guy three series, Then we're going to give this guy two series, and we're going to try to maybe mix it up a little bit.
I want to get back to this, or circle around a different angle in this conversation, because we brought up David Montgomery, and he certainly does look like the collection of tools that everyone said he would be coming into the draft and then subsequently out of it. They've essentially benched Mike Davis, haven't they? I mean, his carries have gone down, and he's out there, sure, but I mean, he's not getting carries the way this coaching staff talked about him getting carries and being leaned on the way they thought he would. Certainly not to the point of his salary. I mean, if they don't have running backs who can make this offensive line look just a little bit better, either it's like this. It's double whammy on this run game, is it not?
Yeah, it is, and I think, and I won't go on a quick tangent, but I should also mention when you go back to quarterback play, really good quarterbacks make really mediocre offensive lines look pretty good. So that's kind of another, like, you know, kind of cloud hanging over his whole offensive line thing. But to the Mike Davis, I was just looking through the snap counts for the year. He had 41 snaps against the Packers, and since then, in four games combined, and he missed one, he's at 20 snaps. So obviously what they saw from him against Green Bay and then maybe what they've seen in practice has told them this isn't working. And I don't know if that's something that will flip after the bye where they say, okay, we need to make this work because there's a guy we brought in, we paid pretty good money relative to what he had done in his career. Let's find a way to make it work. That's, I don't know, the other guy in that same category is Cordarrelle Patterson, who's barely playing on offense. And that's something that, you know, Matt Nagy was so excited about him, and we talked about how are they going to use this guy, how creative can they get, and you're not seeing him out there at all. He had two snaps against the Raiders. So this whole reworked backfield, you know, the only good thing, I guess, is that you're seeing a lot of David Montgomery. You're just seeing a whole lot of chunk gains from him because they just can't figure out this run game.
Why isn't Anthony Miller better and more important and more impactful at this point?
I don't know, Dan. You know, you see that great catch he makes, you know, yep, going up over the cornerback to get it, and then you have the, you know, the unsportsmanlike in the end zone, which was, you know, frankly, it's pretty ticky-tack, but also you got to contain your emotions in that situation. You have the offsides and the kickoff return on him, and also, you know, it looked like he was in bad position on that kickoff return coverage-wise, too, which makes you wonder why he's even on that team. That there was a bad drop early in the game. It's just looking for consistency. And, you know, I asked Mark Helfrich about it last week. Do you want to try almost forcing it to a guy like Anthony Miller or a guy like Trey Burton just as a way to get him involved? And Helfrich kind of said, yeah, you can do that a little bit and try to get him going more. But you know he can run. You know he's a good route runner. You know that he's dynamic with the ball in his hands. I wonder how much of this then is mental from the standpoint of there's just too much on his plate. Maybe he doesn't know the playbook as well as they said he had learned it when he was out most of the spring. Is he pressing? How much is that factoring in? And then is, you know, the quarterback just not seeing him or not getting him the ball? You know, if you're looking at guys, and we've talked about this for the past few weeks, guys who you can look to, okay, let's unlock something on offense. I think he is right there with Trey Burton and then when it comes to the passing game, because you're getting everything you were hoping for and more from Allen Robinson. And then there's an absolute, almost embarrassing drop-off after him in terms of this pass game production.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and I think Trey Burton could be used to unlock parts of this offense if Trey Burton looks like the Trey Burton we talked about going into last year's camp. I don't know that I've seen the athleticism from him that I'd hoped, at least not this year. And I wonder if is he hurt? Is he still dealing with something? Is he not finding himself in the right places? It doesn't look like the right guy.
I think it's time to start looking up your 2020 tight end prospects, Connor. Start breaking down that tape, because that's me number one. Because Burton is not giving you anywhere near where he should when you look at what he's paying, what you're paying him. They did a lot of job, they did a lot of work talking up Adam Shaheen for nothing.
He sucks.
This year.
He does nothing. And even when I make a point of watching him try to make a block, try to beat somebody to a spot, and then he falls down. I mean, what does he do?
He falls down, Dan. So
yeah, but that's, I'm not paying him to fall down.
Well, J.P. Holtz almost outsnapped him the other day, and I think that it seems like they have more confidence in a guy they picked up off waivers after week two to play the position more so than your second round pick from a couple of years ago, who's been in this offense since last year. I mean, the indictment on that position, how much they have bungled it, a position that is supposed to be paramount to this offense, is really high on this list of things that have gone wrong. And it does start, though, with Trey Burton, because if Burton is giving you what you thought, it doesn't really matter that much what the other guys are doing, because if he's getting you 600, 700 yards receiving and 5 to 8 touchdowns, you know, you're happy with that. And it's okay if Shaheen is bust, because you're getting a lot of production from tight end. And maybe Burton still isn't at 100%. He left the field for a couple plays the other day, went to the locker room and came back. Didn't look like that was injury-related, because he hopped right back in the lineup. That position, when you look at everything going on, it's like, how can you still not get anything from any of these guys that you put a huge investment in, and you spent a lot of time talking about how good and how important they will be to your unit?
Talking with Kevin Fishbane, who covers the Bears. He's our guy on Tuesdays at 10. I was listening, Kevin, to Mack and Parkins yesterday around 5 o'clock or so, and Eddie Jackson came on, as he always does, talked about that Bears defense and the effort, and he... You know, to characterize what Jackson had to say, it was about consistency for him, and really just kind of saying that that's not the defense we are, that's not what we do, and we, you know, kind of promise to show up next week and show you all that's just not what happens. How much of that game was a little bit burn the tape, this defense is better than that and things can get fixed, versus Akeem Hicks is out likely for a while and you got to figure out a different way to get things done?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both. You know, we saw blips like this from the defense last year, and they kind of battled back. And when you watch how good they were against the Vikings, it's kind of confusing how bad they were. I will say this, that Raiders offensive line is a lot better than Minnesota's group. Sure. Now, they were missing one of their starters, but they had a great game plan. I think John Gruden deserves a lot of credit for the game plan they came up with. I mean, the defensive line was just mauled. The thing, too, with this group, as you said, with Hicks out, you know, you hope you get Bilal Nichols back soon, because you're going to have to figure out different ways to make up for it. That is a huge loss. And part of the thing that I kept noticing, and I'm sure you guys noticed this, and you might have talked about it already, is this whole Roquan Smith angle. Because now that he's playing, you know, he certainly didn't look like the Roquan Smith we saw in week one or at times last year. I was surprised we didn't even see at least a series or two from Nick Kwiatkowski, the way the Raiders were just yep. pounding the ball. And that is Kwiatkowski, that plays into his strength. But these offensive linemen were getting off. They were easily moving from defensive linemen to the second level. It was actually surprising Dane Trevathan got made as many plays as he did, because they were trying to get him out of plays too pretty consistently. So, you know, as Nagy says, you know, it starts up front and they got manhandled. And you would think that that's not going to be a consistent thing week to week as they play different offensive lines. They get more acclimated to playing without Hicks. As they get Bilal Nichols back, and then, you know, maybe Roquan Smith gets back to what he was or what he should be. That's kind of the big question mark right now with that group when it comes to kind of what they're doing up front. Another little thing, guys, with this defense, and I haven't done the full math yet, but they've played a lot of snaps through 5 games.
Right.
Way more snaps than a defense this good should. Now, a lot of those are some of those fourth quarters against Denver and Washington where they were on the field a lot. You know, kind of with that soft defense. But I wonder when that's going to start to take a toll. Because I don't, like, there were times last year where they played games where they were only on the field for like 50, 55 snaps. And they've played a ton so far, which relative to how many points they've given up is a really stark contrast and something that they got to kind of work on, whether it's getting off the field quicker or maybe being more aggressive to do so. That's also something that could be a problem down the line.
See, I think, and I know we've talked about this kind of all morning long, but as much as the not scoring points is an issue for the offense, the not having a 4-minute offense where you hold and control just a little bit to give your defense a breather after they've gotten a late turnover, which they've had almost, you know, 4 weeks out of 5, like that is a huge problem. If you're going to be a sputtering offense, okay, you can get to places even if your offense is kind of sputtery like that. But if you can't hold and control for just a little bit, your defense is going to get torched.
Yeah, Connor, last year, as choppy as the offense was, they were 3rd in the league in time of possession.
Yep.
And right now they're 16th. And that we saw it start to come a little bit back when actually with Chase Daniel in the first half against Minnesota, where they had these long drives, and you know the red zone offense is still not good, and it wasn't good last year, but they'd have these long, long drives where they'd find a way to just kind of chip away at these teams and keep their defense rested, and yeah, we're not seeing that. Like we get that you don't have the quarterback play that you want. We get that your offensive line is not playing well, but could you at least stay on the field for a few series? Could you at least get a few series of downs going so that you're just sustaining possession? Because that was probably the best thing the offense did as a whole last year, was control the clock and control where they were. Now, a lot of those games, too, they were able to build leads early in the game. But I keep thinking back, guys, to that first drive of the 2018 season in Green Bay, where we had no idea what to expect, and we've seen all these fun little gimmicky things, and it was working, and Mitch drove them all the way downfield, and they got installed inside the 10, but it was a long drive. They kicked the field goal, and that kind of set the tone of, okay, this offense is going to have its limitations, but it's going to control time possession. They're going to be good enough where they can get you a few first downs. They're not going to score enough touchdowns. This offense does not have that, and I think it starts with the fact that they're terrible on first down, and whether it's throwing or running the ball, and they're just too many 1 yard gains or no gains. But yeah, that's a big problem that you would imagine is high on their list during the bye this week.
Lastly, how does this work now? The players are going to get some time off. I imagine coaches being coaches, even if their wives told them to take time off, they wouldn't. And they're going to just start poring over film. I wonder how honest they're going to be with themselves and how this process is going to go now.
Yeah, Dan, I think that if you look to the game plan they have for the New Orleans game, you're going to learn a lot about what they figured out this week. You know, are we going to see more of some of these guys that we haven't seen? Are they going to try to find ways to get Trey Burton and Anthony Miller going? Is there going to be a change in the offensive line or how they, you know, plan the run game? You know, Matt Nagy is kind of a game plan guy in terms of it's been a different offense every week based on your opponent, which is probably the way you should game plan. But you know, that is one game where it's like, okay, are we going to start to see some drastic changes based on what these guys saw in terms of their self-scouting? You know, they had some stumbles coming off the bye last year, but the offense was pretty good. You know, they were bad in the first half against Miami and were awesome in the second half, and they were pretty good against the Patriots the next week too. And then they went on that run. So the offense was able to kind of flip things around a little bit before they started. Then they stumbled again against Buffalo and then L.A. So can you figure out some of these ways to get back? I mean, not only are they wasting a good defense, you're wasting a guy at receiver in Allen Robinson who's doing everything imaginable for your team right now, and nobody else is helping him. So there's a lot that they got to get sorted out in these next few days.
Kevin, appreciate you as always. Talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, thanks, guys.
That is Kevin Fishbane, who always is informative and entertaining regarding your Chicago Bears. You can listen to him at 10 o'clock on Tuesdays here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.